Thank you, Ryan. So what we celebrate today is Karen's commitment and faithfulness to God, her family, and those in her world, and the fact that she's in the very presence of her God. Why don't you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Karen's life. We thank you for calling her to be in your family. And we ask that you just be in our midst today as we, God, we long just for your comfort and your peace as we grieve. May you be glorified in all that is said and done here today. And may you give us what we need to move forward well. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Krista. Karen was my older sister. She was 3 years my senior. We grew up together. She was my first best friend. Of course, sister relationships are complicated. It is a dichotomy that is familiar to many siblings. We are tied together in a relationship that is strange and complex, full of contradictions. As was the case with Karen and me, we frequently made each other laugh and cry. With one particularly bad fight, I remember my mother standing over the two of us with tears. You see, my mother was an only child, and she had always longed for a sibling, so she couldn't understand why Karen and I would fight, and fight we did. My mother's idealist view of sisterhood was a childhood filled with games and laughing and dreaming and love, and Karen and I knew better. Now, don't get me wrong, we were all of those things to each other and more, but the bonds of sisterhood are deep and hard won. We fought over boys and clothes and bathroom time. We were a family of seven with one bathroom, so you can imagine what that was like. But with all those battles came a very deep connection. And as an older sister, Karen was also my teacher. She taught me to love and to be tough and to be kind and to use deodorant. And above all, to be loyal. The fact is, few people in the world know me better than my sister, Karen. And when someone loves you to the core, even though they know all of your warts, it is truly a blessing. Similar to the bonds of sisterhood, Karen's passing is filled with complex emotions. I ache for our loss, but I also rejoice that she's at peace and in heaven. I know that she lives on in each of us, her beautiful children, her husband, her family, and her many friends. It is tempting to wish the world less complex, that our feelings and relationships were black and white, so to speak. But the truth is, we live in a world filled with shades of gray. And although it is complicated, it is also beautiful, just like Karen.
I cannot tell why he, the King of Heaven, should leave the peace of all eternity. Why God himself should lay aside his splendor to leave the Father's side and come to me. at this I know, our silence filled with singing, and all our darkness fled from heaven's light. When Christ the Lord, so human yet so holy, in love was born a child for me that holy night. I cannot tell why he, the joy of heaven, should give himself to suffer for my sin. Why, holy God should love me in my shamefulness. Why, he should die to draw my soul to him. But this I know, that Christ the Lord is risen, and praise his name, he's risen now in me. Because he lives, I'll rise to life eternal. He took my guilty heart, and I'm forever free. I cannot tell when he will rule the nations, how he will claim his loved ones as his own. And who can tell the holy jubilation when all his children gather round his throne? But this I know, will see his glory, and skies will burst as all creation sings. The sun will rise on one eternal morning, when Christ the Savior of the world is Lord and King.
My name's Jean, and Karen was a member of the women's prayer group that met each Thursday morning. And the Karen I got to know certainly was like a sister to me, a sister in the Lord. She was just so sweet, kind, compassionate, gracious. I just so appreciated Karen and truly am going to miss her. The scripture today is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who by faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your deep, immeasurable love. You are the author of life. Life is precious. As we mourn Karen's passing, we praise you that she is celebrating the inheritance promised to her. Bless Karen's family with comfort and peace. May you be honored, God, as we celebrate a life that glorified you. We lift up our sadness and grief to you. Bring us an abundance of your gentle healing mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join us as we sing.
We come to the garden alone. The two
a miracle. I got up here. And those girls singing, that was one of the things I wanted to say a little later on. But Karen encouraged her kids, and she really realized that that like three of them at least had very much talent in singing. And I noticed that Brooke really sings good over here too. But yeah. So anyway, she always, you know, believed in her kids and, like I say, got private lessons and everything. So they're, you know, really like to sing to the glory of God. I wanted to say that Karen was born on May 5th, and my birthday was on May 6th. So I always say that she was my best and greatest birthday gift. and I still say that today. So she was a really strong and feisty baby. her great-grandma could hardly hold her. This was like newborn baby. And she even said that she was like a moose. And I know Krista said in her obituary that Karen would probably shoot us for saying that. But anyway. And one time, my husband and I had left her with his mother to watch her for a little while. And we went back. And when we went in, Nana said, Karen is crawling. I says, you mean creeping, don't you? She's too tiny to crawl. And she says, look at her. And here she was on her hands and knees with her little tush in the air, and she was crawling. So that tells you what she's like. Let me see where I am here. Okay. As I already mentioned about the talented kids, and let's see. Let me skip down here then. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Karen's strength and tell you some things about the family that you probably know or may not know. But, you know, little Nathan, you know, whom we all love and adore and is so lively, they adopted him, and he has Down syndrome. But for the first 5 years of his life, he was continually going to the doctor, just all the time. And one time he was even helicoptered to Columbia University Hospital. And so the thing that's so amazing to me is that in spite of all the family was going through, Karen and Rick and everybody with Nathan, that they took my husband Richard and I'm Lorna Beal, into their home. And, I knew even then Karen had cancer. She was already having backaches, and she didn't know. She hadn't been diagnosed yet that she had cancer. But then the thing that she, was so kind and loving that she took us in and cared for my husband. And Rick did a lot, too. My husband was a big guy, like 6'4 or something, and Rick had to kind of tussle him around. So I really am blessed that they did that for us. So I think that's all I had. Let me double check. Okay. Oh, okay. Hold on. Okay. All I put was... that she and Rick took us in their home and hearts, where we were cared for and showered with love, and enjoyed the grandchildren so much too. We love you, kids. Bye. And I call them kids today, even though they're young ladies. And I didn't mention that James Matthews, their brother, sings too. In fact, all three of them sang at my husband's funeral. So, anyway, we've been really blessed. Thank you.
Thank you.
eyes no more, searching for that open door. And every road I've taken led to my regret, and I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Nothing to do but lift my head. I look to you.
So good to hear the stories, and thanks for putting those beautiful pictures together. We all have many memories of Karen. Remember the good times as well as those difficult ones. Yet what I find interesting is that when this life is over, when it's all said and done, there's only one thing that really matters. There's only one question that we ask, and that is, where is she now? At this moment, Karen is experiencing a reality that we just can't get our head around, that we just can't imagine. My Bible paints an epic picture of this place, a place we call heaven, that is more beautiful than the human mind can understand. Yet, in our minds, we can't help but wonder, why did God take her at such an early age? I mean, why did she have to endure so much physical pain and go through the mental and emotional agony of leaving her family that wanted her and needed her? In the last couple of months of her life, I saw her fight so hard to stay on this earth and be with the ones that she loved. Karen is a fighter. There's no question. She fought with intensity, but today her battle is over. Her battle is over. We know that Karen is doing wonderful, yet today we hurt. We grieve. We miss not being able to talk to her or to be by her side. So today I want us to go to the only place that can give us real peace, comfort, and love. And the hope that we need. I want us to go straight to Scripture because I find it's the only powerful, timeless words of God that can bring calm to our soul and allow us to move forward well. You know, the eloquent words of man just fall short. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." Today we don't grieve the way the world around us would grieve at a death, because we know where God's grace and Karen's faith has taken her. Now, I've only known Karen for a little over a year or so, but my Bible tells me that she has been fully known by her Heavenly Father before the foundations of the earth. For Karen, her spiritual journey started, from my understanding, as you tell the story, when she attended Washington State University, where her friend Angela gave her a Bible. It was then that she understood that she didn't meet God's standards, and in and of herself, she never could. Scripture is clear about our problem. Our problem is called sin, and it separates us from a holy God. Romans 3 said, there's none righteous, no, not one. It goes on to say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, we've missed the mark. You know, in our culture today, many people feel they're good enough to be okay with God, but God doesn't agree with that. He says we must see the depth of our sin before we can even start to approach him. You know, Karen also understood that the good things in her life couldn't make her right with God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he goes on to say that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he created beforehand that we should walk in them. So Karen had to make a decision whether to live her life on her terms or surrender her life entirely to God. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Karen firmly believed that Jesus was the solution for her sin and personally accepted what Jesus did on that cross for her years ago on that campus. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, Karen did call upon the name of the Lord, and according to God and his faithfulness, she was saved. And then right here at Christ Community Church in 2005, she was baptized by Pastor John Aker, which was an outward expression of what had taken place in her heart. Karen knew that she was safe and secure in the hands of Jesus. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Goes on to say, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The most difficult part for Karen must have been the last few months of her life. She was battling with pain and worried about what it would look like to leave her family, how they'd be taken care of. Yet her Bible was very clear that this earth was not her home, and that she and all who believe were meant for something bigger, meant for something more. Philippians chapter 3 in Scripture says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Jesus says, don't your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Apostle Peter chimes in and says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The Apostle John gives us a glimpse of what this looks like out of Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." As Karen struggled in her last days, Rick told me that you all would read Psalm 31. And this shows the strength that she had. This shows her resolve. It shows where she was leaning and who she was leaning into. This is Psalm 31, is a Psalm of David. I just want to read a few verses from that Psalm. Now, this is Karen's crying out to God in the same way that David did years ago. "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. To your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. You have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet on a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. But I trust in you. O Lord, I say, you are my God. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait on the Lord." Like David of old, you can sense her battle. You could see what she was going through. You could feel her pain. But now she's home. And God's face is shining on her. I was recently told that one of her favorite verses in Scripture from the Apostle Paul is Galatians 2:20, which is a dramatically solid statement for a follower of Jesus. Now, this is Paul writing, this is his statement, but she has taken on his statement and says this. She says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This is her statement of faith. This is her resolve. She is a child of the living God, and she is at home with him. But what about us? We miss her. We grieve. What else does God want us to know? Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The psalmist says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." The book of Philippians chapter 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He wants us to lean into him. Karen's earthly journey is over, and her amazing eternity has begun. Karen no longer clings to this life. She is now in the presence of her Father. our Heavenly Father. We simply celebrate the life of a woman we love, chose to share her journey with us. Yes, we will miss her, her smile, her laughter, her sweet spirit, but we release her to arrive at her final destination, the open arms of her loving Heavenly Father. You see, when we know Christ, His forgiveness, His love, His grace, life is good. You know, life is sweet. As we look forward to our ultimate destination, we call home, basking in the presence of God and enjoying Him forever. So today, we close this chapter in Karen's life. We let go. We let go and we place her in the hands of her Heavenly Father. Please pray with me. Lord, right now we do let go of Karen. We do that because we know we can trust you. And we know that we will see her again as well, if we are yours. Give each one here your supernatural ability to release her to you. May you provide the peace and comfort that this family needs, as well as the wisdom needed to move forward well. Lord, as we grieve, may that emptiness we may experience be filled with your presence and your steadfast love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank you all for being here today. It means a lot to the family. Thank you for those who came long distances. That's wonderful that the family can be gathered. The Matthews family would like to invite you to join them in the Family Life Center, which is straight out this door, large building right over here, for some light refreshments. Also, what will happen there, we'll have an open mic if you'd like to share some memories of Karen. Also, be sure to sign the guest book on the way out if you hadn't. And also, you'll notice in your bulletin is a memory card. It's provided so that you can write something down if you would like. Memory of her, and you just place that on that back table as you go out. God bless you.